Teach tonight, I want you to listen to this prophetic word by Chuck Pierce.
I say this is a day of new power. And from the power that I'm bringing, new authority will be developed. I say to you, be careful, for danger is lurking. The danger to stop the new power source that I am bringing to you is working now in your atmosphere. I say to you, go beyond and stay hidden for a season. I say, stay hidden over these next 4 months in a way over what you are developing will be developed and be brought out with all authority. I say, do not let an old structure stop you from continuing to develop what I am asking you to develop. For I am creating a new identity in you. I am moving in you in a new way. And I am going to use you in days ahead in a new way. So I say to you, let the new continue to develop. And go beyond where the enemy is trying to stop you now. I say, when you don't know how to go beyond, saith the Lord. For if you quit seeking, if you quit pressing, the enemy will catch you. I say, stay one step ahead of death these next 4 months. Do not let that which would love to kill what you are about right now and what is going on in you right now stop you. I say to you, these next 4 months, there's great danger, but in the midst of that danger, I already have your new authority developed. I already have your new power stirring within you. And I say to you, at the right time, you will bring out and display that which is working in you this day. And because of that, you will break into a new source. Let the old come to an end. Let it shut down. For I say, I am awakening the new within you. And you will celebrate in a new way in days ahead.
Some of you who are trying to get ahead of God need to slow down and go beyond. If you don't know how to go beyond, he means keep pressing. Just keep pressing. It doesn't matter what you have to goes on, you have to keep pressing. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the prophetic word you just gave through your son, Chuck Pierce. And Father God, I know that it fell on receptive ears. And I know, Father God, your people are starting to understand what you are telling them, that they have to change. They have to let go of the old so you can bring the new, and that the enemy is after them with everything that he has. And Father God, tonight, as I bring forth the prophetic word that you gave me to give to your people, I'm asking that their spiritual ears be opened wide so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And then, Father God, the seed is planted within their spirit man, and we cover it with the blood of Jesus where the enemy cannot steal it. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, God's just saying these are great days of trials and tribulations. And you're going to have to stand strong, and you have to be strong, and you're going to have to quit convincing yourself that you are right, that you are all right when you're not, because the enemy will convince you that you're all right when you're not. You know really what's in your heart. Quit deceiving yourself, and let's just get this right so God can use you the way he wants to use you. Amen. God impressed upon me coming down here tonight that a scripture, Brother Chris, will you read that scripture right now?
It's Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the fatherless, or the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
All right, so those are the people that's not going to go to heaven. One of those words means drug addictions. Read, this is what he's reading. These are the people that's not going to go to heaven. So read that again.
The cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
That was Revelation what?
21:8.
Revelation 21:8. Now, if you want to know who's going to go to heaven, who's going to go to hell, it's right there in black and white. And Brother Larry, I forgot what word he says. It means drug addicts, so on. So, my little piece of pot isn't going to take me to hell. Yes, it will. You know, I'm surprised when people believe that. You can go around and run around here smoking pot and still go to heaven. It's not going to happen. And whenever you're sitting in hell, you're going to realize the truth of that saying. All right. Now, tonight, God told me a week ago the title, and everything went around, and I didn't even sit down to study it. But he said to me, since when do we step aside? And then he said, God is saying, I am saying it is the devil who must step aside, not the children of God. So I want you to know tonight, God said, since when do you step aside and allow the enemy to have full rule and reign in your life? Now, this is all the prophetic word that God has given me. And I'll let you know when we end it. And God goes on to say, it is time my body stands up for what is just and pure. My body need not back down from any demonic force of darkness. My body need not back down from any demonic force of darkness. My body must stand for righteousness at all cost. My body must love endlessly. Now, you might say, well, why are you using these sermons? Because when I say, God, what do you want me to preach? He starts prophesying. All right, so I just write it down, and that's what I give you. I could put this on the web, but I say, what do you want me to teach Wednesday night? And this is what he says. All right, what is it that you are trying to prove? This is God speaking. Why not just serve your Father from a pure heart of love and gain all of heaven? Why do you cling to the past and all its frustrations? You are pregnant with anxieties from the past. Abort these anxieties and be healed. I thought that was an interesting statement. You are pregnant with anxieties from the past. Abort these anxieties and be healed. Why don't you just step aside and allow my Holy Spirit to have total and complete control of your life and everything that pertains to your life? Everything that pertains to your life. I am a good father, and I love those that are mine with a jealous love, and I will never allow the enemy to take you away from my kingdom. It is time you stepped up to the plate, confessed who you are in me, and moved forward with all the power of heaven at your disposal. The enemy must bow his knee, it is written, and he must obey the written word. His schemes are just that, schemes. You do not have to bow to his schemes. You do not have to listen to his threats and his condemnation. Why do you do that? Listen to my voice, obey my voice, and be victorious on all sides. Listen to my voice, obey my voice, and be victorious on all sides. You and I read that. You do not have to listen to his threats and his condemnation. I said, why do you do that? I had sort of laughed because I say to my kids, I'll tell them what they're doing wrong. Why do you do that? And I heard Gabriel say to Isaiah the other day, why do you do that? Sounded just like me. So God's saying to me, to you, why do you do that? Why do you listen to what the devil has to say? Where, and God goes on to say, where in my word did you see that my children had to step aside? Where in my word does it tell you that you are defeated? My word tells you that you shall suffer for my name's sake, but it does not say you have to move aside. Hear that? My word tells you that you shall suffer for my name's sake, but it does not say you have to move aside. Take pleasure in who you are in me and just allow my spirit to rule and reign in your life. Take pleasure in who you are in me. And just allow my spirit to rule and reign in your life. Just allow the anointing that destroys every yoke abide within, and then move forward and conquer on all sides. Just allow the anointing that destroys every yoke abide within, and then move forward and conquer on all sides. I am the great I am, and I fail you not. I am at your disposal 24/7, and I will do what my word tells you I will do. What did my son tell the adversary? Did he not say, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written? You say right. For my son knew who had authority, and he knew the adversary had been kicked out of heaven. See, y'all don't know that yet. You don't understand that the devil has no authority. And he knew the adversary has no power nor authority. God saying Jesus knew that. And he knew the enemy was a liar and the father of all lies. See, this Jesus knew all this about Satan, and he went on, didn't he, let Satan bother him whatsoever. I have taught you guys all this, and you have not comprehended it somewhere along the line. Satan is the father of all lies. He is. You know, and he has no power, no authority. I mean to tell you, he'll give you a good fight, though, for your money. He'll give you a good run, a good chase, because he does me. But I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and I stand my ground. I like to kick him where it hurts him the most, you know, and stop him dead in his tracks. Amen? Don't you get mad? I get really mad at the devil. I don't ever get mad at God, but I really get mad at the devil because he is so dumb. He is so dumb, and the body of Christ believes him. This is what bothers me. Luke 4:8 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Satan was trying to get Jesus to serve Satan, right? And so what did Jesus do? He spoke the word back to him. What do you know? Do you know who you are in me? Do you know how much authority you really have? Before you answer these questions before you answer, think those questions out very thoroughly. And the questions are, what do you know? And do you know who you are in me? Do you know how much authority you really have? A lot of you really need to sit down and digest that tonight. And you need to come to grips with the fact that you don't have the right answers for these three questions. Amen. God goes on to say, I am trying to get your attention. He's trying. And I'm trying to get you to understand who you are in me. Then he says, why? So you can go forth undaunted and unencumbered by the wiles of the evil one. See why he's trying to get your attention? Rejoice in me always. Read about Paul and Silas. Did they not rejoice in their deepest times of trouble? Did they not rejoice always because they knew who and what they were in me? You understanding this? They received the revelation of who they were. They were children of the Most High God, and they reveled in that knowledge, and they went forth defeating the enemy on all sides. They received the revelation of who they were, and they were children of the Most High God. Get that revelation tonight. You're a child of the Most High God. And they reveled in that knowledge, and they went forth defeating the enemy on all sides. Take a stance, little ones, and do the very same thing that Paul and Silas did. What about the other disciples? Did they not also go forth with triumph on their lips and a made-up mind to take the strong man down and destroy the strongholds at every turn? How do you go forth? Do you go forth with the same mindset that Paul has? What Paul and Silas, did they not also go forth with triumph on their lips? They already knew they had the victory before they ever went to the battle. And they had a made-up mind. Is your mind made up? And what was their mind made up to do? To take the strong man down and destroy the strongholds at every turn. That's not the way the body of Christ goes out to war. We go out already defeated. And the minute the devil says, boo, we turn and run the other way. Or we bow our knees and say, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do to the devil? Come on. Ride the wave of victory. This is God still speaking. Ride the wave of victory, little ones, and do not allow the enemy any more space in your lives. Hasn't he stolen enough? Why do you think you have to allow him to destroy you in your walk with me? Let's read that one again. Ride the wave of victory, little ones, and do not allow the enemy any more space in your lives. Hasn't he stolen enough? Why do you think you have to allow him to destroy you in your walk with me? How many ways can my word tell you that he has no power nor authority? That you have all power and authority through my son. Number one, you have the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. Number two, you have the blood and name of my son Jesus at your beck and call. And number three, you have the legion of angels in heaven to call upon for assistance. The enemy has no one. Think about that. Do you understand that? He has no one to call upon. So why do you think he has all power and authority to pull puppet strings in your lives? When Satan was kicked out of heaven, he had no power. He couldn't pull on nothing. And he pulled one third of the angels down with him, and then he taught them to be as evil as he was. But he has no one to pull on. How many ways can I say be still? How many times have I told you to be still and you went barging ahead like a bull in a china shop? Please be still and listen for my still small voice and carry out my orders as I give them to you. Never allow the enemy to pull your strings. Take a pair of scissors and cut the strings that he has placed upon you and walk away free and undaunted. Are you listening? There is always victory in the camp of the believer. There is always joy in the camp of a true believer. I like the way he says this. There is always love in the camps of my trusting ones. Let's read that again. There is always victory in the camp of the believer. There is always joy in the camp of a true believer. There is always love in the camps of my trusting ones. I am always at your side, and as my word tells you, I will never leave nor forsake you, no matter what the circumstances might be. Hearken unto my voice, and be led by my spirit, and watch what great and mighty works you will accomplish for the kingdom of light. Walk entirely out of the kingdom of darkness, and never ever look back. I am in front of you, and I am leading and guiding, if you are allowing me to. I thought that was very important. So let's read that again. Hearken unto my voice and be led by my spirit. Listen for the voice and then be led by that voice. God's voice, not your other voice that you hear. And watch what great and mighty works you will accomplish for the kingdom of light. Walk entirely, entirely out of the kingdom of darkness and never, ever look back. I am in front of you and I am leading and guiding if you're allowing me to. Take up your sword and follow me. Be like David. Run toward your giants and watch them crumble before your very eyes. I have forsaken the idol worshippers, but I am embracing all those who have repented and come back into the victory circle. So if you're still embracing your past sins, God said he's forsaken you. That's just what he said. Take up your sword and follow me. Be like David. Run toward your giants and watch them crumble before your very eyes. I have forsaken the idol worshippers, and your idol worshippers are your past sins. But I am embracing all those who have repented and come back into the victory circle. God goes on to say, see how the mighty have fallen. See how the mighty have screamed in agony as they are thrust into the eternal coals of hell. My children, step aside and allow me to rule and reign in your mortal bodies and see what we shall accomplish together. My son paid the ultimate sacrifice, and you are not going to be asked to pay that sacrifice. At this given time, many are being beheaded, but they are willing to give up their lives for my name's sake. What are you willing to give up? My son was willing to go through his trial to save your lives. What are you willing to go through to save the lost and dying that are wandering about in gross darkness? Always remember, I will never ask you to do something you are not capable of doing. I know your strengths and I know your weaknesses, but I also know what is in your heart of hearts. I don't want to hear you say, well, God knows my heart. He sure does. He told me I do. It's cold and callous. And they just make excuses to stay in their sin. So when you tell me, look at me and say, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. You know, if you're still in sin. And I would be afraid to even make that statement. I really would. I would really be taking myself to God and ask God to show me what my heart's really all about and let him expose what's in there that's not of him and then get rid of it. Well, that was what God spoke. That was his message for the night. That was his teaching, which I thought was excellent. Now, I read an article today where it said it's the church's fault that pornography is running rampant the way it is, and that our children are lost and going to hell. It said the article said there has not been enough pastors in the pulpit with enough guts to preach against sin. That they want the people to stay in the church, they want the tithing, and they're not going to tell them that they're going to hell if they don't quit to clean up their walk. Well, he gave a warning to the churches that don't do that, but I didn't take that warning because I do that. And I will continue to do whatever God calls me for to do. I would love to come in here and just have the glory fall and just have everybody lay out the spirit and have the healings take place like they used to. I would love all that. But, you know, you guys have not proven yourself faithful to God yet. Or I wouldn't be giving these type of messages. Come on. I beg God, please God, let me give a nice quiet message. Let it be full of love and compassion. That'll take you to hell. Because you're content in your sin. And if God would allow me to come up here and stand up here and tell you everything's just rosy, you would go to hell and your blood would be in my hands when I get judged. And I'm not going to take your blood to be judged. I'm not. I'm going to make sure my hands are clean of your soul. I'm going to make sure I tell you exactly what God is saying. And you need to do the very same thing. If you have a ministry, you need to be telling them exactly what. I didn't make any of this up. I can't talk like that to begin with. I didn't make any of this up. This was all God, you know. And then I'm going to add too, but God is telling you to get yourself together. God is telling you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus and be, you know, and revel in that and be excited in the fact that you're a child of God. And it doesn't matter how many trials or tribulations you go through. It doesn't matter what's coming your way. You're God's child and he's going to take care of you. Gabe woke up today and to make himself a sandwich and he burnt the bacon. All right. And then a little bit later on, we went to get in the car to come to church and the car blew up. And then, so I had to borrow my daughter's car to get here and we was coming down the roadblock is there. So we had to turn around and I had to figure out how to get to church. And Jesus, I think Gabriel said, well, this is really, this is just settled. This is a bad day all the way around. He said, because everything bad happened, he figured out it was a bad day. But you know what? God made a way. I recooked his bacon, you know. I'll take my car to the garage and get it worked on again. I just got out of the garage. And I got here okay. So God turned everything around, and God is here. It says God always takes care of his own, is what I'm trying to say. Poor Gabriel, this just proves it's just a bad day. And see, how many Christians believe that, though? When you have more than one thing go wrong in a day, oh, this is a terrible day. But see, you never look to see how God provided whenever you have it. You don't look at that. All you look at is this bad thing that happened. And we need to start looking at the good things that happen in life. And we need to be those type of Christians that, you know, that goes out there. We have a smile on our face, a real smile on our face. And we're really happy in our hearts. And we're living the righteous life that we're supposed to be living. Living holy, living pure, living clean. And God can move through us anytime he wants to save a soul. All right? I have a member of my family who sort of, they know God, but they sort of go like this, you know. And so we was going out to eat, all of us, was when my daughter was in Arkansas. And I was riding this one daughter that goes, and she said, Mom, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that, honey? If God ever tells you anything about me, please let me know. I said, what? She said, everything you ever say, God says, it's all happening. She said, so if God ever tells you anything. See, I don't preach to them, but they're watching and they're listening. And she said, I want to know anything God has to say about me. Isn't that neat? I just smiled to myself inside and smiled out front. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You're bringing another one because God told me all my kids would, because she's a prodigal. They all are. But he said, they were all going to be serving God. I didn't have to preach them. I just had to live the life. And even though all hell was going breaking loose in my home and everybody saw what I was going through, they were watching. Was I going to compromise? Was I going to say it's okay just so people would feel good and you know, the atmosphere would be right? Or would I stay steadfast in my walk? I've always stayed steadfast in my walk and always will. And you have to too. Because the minute you compromise, you've done lost those that you're trying to save. You have lost them because I said, uh-huh. See, I knew that they would do that. They really don't mean what they're what they say. I have another member of in the house that is backslidden too, and it tickles me because I don't want to hear nothing about God. But at night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning when I go down the hallway, I hear preaching in the bedroom. Listen to preaching and praise and worship all night. But hurries up and gets it off that they hear me coming out of the bedroom. So what's happening? God's drawing them too, see? But they don't want me to know that. They get real rough in front of me, but I think I see right past that roughness. Are you understanding this? It's no matter what they're saying or doing on the outside, you don't know what's going on in the heart. And I don't say, you better get to church. I don't say that. I asked you one time to go to church. If you don't go to church, and now it's on you now. Your blood's off of my hands. I made the way, right? So don't do that. Be the example. Walk it out before them. And just watch how God works things out in their life, all right? You want to give her a dust rag so she can clean that chair really good? She's in her dust in the chair. All right? Now, we need to declare this. I have power that you can't see. I can fight any enemy because God and me are a majority. All right? I have power that you can't see. I can fight any enemy because God and me are a majority. Elaine, you need to remember that when you're on the street and you walk up to one of them devils and them people, they can't, well, the devil can see, but the people can't see, but they don't know the power and authority that you have because of Jesus. And then God spoke and said, I am not just going to give you authority, I'm going to give you power. The Holy Spirit is your backup. And this is God speaking here. I am not just going to give you authority, I'm going to give you power. The Holy Spirit is your backup. Holy Spirit power is what we need in this dispensation. This is what I'm saying. As we go out into the highways and the byways, we need God's power. We need his might. We need his anointing that destroys every yoke. Redeem what is rightfully yours and do not allow the enemy to ever again have control of your life or circumstances. Are you listening here? Redeem what is rightfully yours and do not allow the enemy to ever again have control of your life or circumstances. If we stand on the word, the devil has to back up and step aside in the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you have had the devil come to you in form and say, I'll kill you? Personally come to you just like Jesus does. And you laugh in his face and, oh, no, you won't. That is the truth. He can't kill you. By George, he can take you through the coals. Amen. But you don't back up and you don't stop. You keep right on going and you show him that you have more power than he and authority than he has. You don't allow him to take you out. You must press on. Now, Imajumi, I don't know how to pronounce your name, but what are you going to do, say, if God sends you to Africa where all the demons are out on the streets, right? That's what I read anyhow. And you're walking down the street and this demon walks up to you and say, I'm going to kill you. And what are you going to say? Oh, no, please don't do that. Or are you going to say, I have more power and authority than you do, and so you bow your knee to my Jesus, right? See, and right here in America, do you know how many demons are walking the streets in America? Do you know how many demons are sitting in this church tonight? In your workplaces? Are you understanding this? I mean, they're everywhere. Now, whenever they try to harass you, what are you going to do? You're going to let them harass you? You're going to tell them they're going to bow their name in the name of Jesus, and you're not going to bow your name to him, but they're going to bow their name to you, you know, Jesus in you. All right? We need to understand that if Jesus could master death, which he did, there is nothing Jesus cannot do, and there's nothing that Jesus cannot master. And who's inside of you, supposedly? Jesus. So then, if that's the case, then there's nothing that you cannot do, and there is nothing that Jesus, that you cannot master, because you have Jesus in you. And God always says, when people come against you, that's not your little flesh are coming against, they're coming against the Jesus in you. All right? Luke 10:19 tells us, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. See, look what Jesus said. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want you to memorize that scripture because you don't believe this. Luke 10:19 tells us, behold, Jesus speaking, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to start using the power we have in Jesus. Remember, I am what the Bible, we used to say this all the time when I was first born again. I am what the Bible says I am and can do what the Bible says I can do. Did any of you, any other of you ever hear that? When I first got born again, that's what they, every time you went somewhere, that's what they tell you. All right. I am what the Bible says I am. Anyhow, I thought, well, that's pretty good. We'll just use that again because we need to understand it. Because I believed that when they told me that. I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. And that's why all the miracles were happening, because I believed that statement. And when I read the word, and just like Luke 10:19, God said I could do that. So I did that. We said we could raise the dead. I raised the dead. You know what I'm saying? Come on. See, you have to know that the Bible is true and that you can do whatever the Bible says you can do. I see so many Christians in this church defeated all the time for no reason other than you've lost your first love and you're allowed the enemy, and you are allowing the enemy to rule and reign in your life. Do you know how hard I have to fight to keep my first love? No, I have to fight probably harder than you do, because I'm the one that's teaching you. I'm the one that God has to work through, and I'm being fought like you wouldn't believe, but I don't give in. All right. I had a dream just the other night. And I dreamt that I was in the house, and this man was stalking me, and had these little, vents in the ceiling and in the floor. And this man was cloaked, like, so I couldn't see his face, and he was in my house, and I was trying to get rid of him. And he kept unscrewing the vents so he could look down, see where I was at and everything. Well, I got out of the house. I went to somebody else's house. Tell you the truth, it was Barbara's house. And I said, Barbara, you've got to really watch yourself, because this man is after me. And I says, and now he's come following me. Now he's after you. I said, look, he's taking the vent out of your ceiling and out of your floor so he can see us. But before I got to her house, the man attacked me. And I grabbed him. When I grabbed him, I just slung him around like it was a puppet and threw him against the wall. But then I kept running to Barbara's house. And when I got there, I told her the same thing. And she said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. We have to make sure he doesn't get us. And so then he got into her house and he came after me, come running up the steps. Do you have steps? He came running up the steps and he got halfway up there and I was standing there and I just socked him in the face and knocked him back down the steps and said, come on, Barbara, we got to get away from this man. So I woke up. And so here I was defeating the devil, but still running from him. Isn't that what I was doing? Yeah, even though I was defeating him, and I even told Barbara, we got to run and hide. But yet every time he got right there, he could get to me. He couldn't hurt me because I was beating him up. See, God was trying to show me something. That's what happens to the body of Christ. Yeah, we are defeating the enemy, but we don't even see that. And so we keep on running. Are you understanding this? Come on. I've lost my place. Jesus has given us badges of authority, and these badges imply that we are empowered and authorized to act on his behalf. Read that again. Jesus has given us badges. Now you have to realize that, of authority, and these badges imply that we are empowered and authorized to act on his behalf. There are some conditions around us that will not yield until we command them in the name of Jesus. Are you seeing that? Get out of here, devil, it's written. Well, you better say in the name of Jesus, you know. Because sometimes the devil's not going to listen to just your words. You're going to have to use the power and authority. Because God told me one time the body of Christ does not use all the weapons of warfare that he has given us in his word. All right? People and devils. People and devils will not respond to us. But when we go forth in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, we can change our situation. So, you know, when the devil keeps harassing you, it's because you haven't used your power and authority, which is the blood or Jesus or whatever. You haven't called on the holy angels. You have not used the weapons of warfare at your disposal to make the enemy stop. Samson was guilty of conduct unbecoming of an officer of the Lord. He laid his head on the wrong lap and sought after pleasure rather than the will of God. He woke up one night and shook himself, but the power was gone. The anointing was gone. God had confiscated his badge of authority. And God showed that to me a couple months ago. He gave me that scripture about Samson. He said, this is about to happen in the body of Christ. People have been playing games with God. And they say, well, you know, like Samson, I still have the power. God's still doing this or God's still doing that. But one day you're going to stand up like Samson did. And there's not going to be no power and no authority and you're going to be in dire trouble. All right? So that's a warning from God. You are an agent of the kingdom. You are somebody. Don't live beneath your privilege. You are somebody. Like I said to Gabriel a couple times, I say to him quite often, I say, Gabriel, you just do such dumb things. And he said, you're saying I'm dumb. I said, no, you do dumb things. It's different. You're very intelligent, but you just do dumb things. And the body of Christ does too. We really know the word of God, but we do dumb things. Like I kept beating the devil up, kept running from it. That was a dumb thing. You see, it's not that I'm dumb. It's just that I'm not applying everything that God has given me to defeat the enemy. My wisdom, the wisdom and knowledge that he gives me. Do you pray for wisdom and knowledge? I mean, you have to be on the streets. You have to if you have to have kids in this day and age because the schools are a mess. You know, right now, since I said that, I can't remember the name of the game, but I read an article where this a 9-year-old girl, her father was trying to take her controls from her game thing away from her, and she socked him in the face. But they found it. I forgot the name of the game. It's becoming very, very popular on the computer. And they're saying, please don't let your kids play this. And please, grown-ups don't play it either. And people are getting such a thrill out of just watching somebody else play it. But this little 9-year-old girl, when her parents would go to bed, she would sneak into the room and get on the computer and play it. And they found her one morning sitting on. She was so engrossed in this game and could not get away from it. She wouldn't even go to the bathroom. She sat and pee and poop and herself. And they said she was so sore with blisters and everything. So, I told him that his game stuff's going to go up for a while. And I really encourage all you parents to take your kids' games away from them. Because it's becoming rampant in out there that the kids are being overtaken by these things. I wish I could. I wrote it down, but not in my papers to bring tonight. But it's a new game out. Fortnite. Is that what it's called? Fortnite. That's it. Yeah, Fortnite. And it's really consuming the kids. And if you're playing it, you need to quit. You need to take her game away from her. Because it is destroying kids. It is. It is. And it's destroying adults too. And they said it's getting worse and worse. And this little girl, 9 years old, had to go to rehab. She was so consumed by this spirit that came out of that game. I think that's sad. I really do. I mean, your parents, you can do whatever you want to do, but, you're also an agent of your children, and you're supposed to be controlling them the way Jesus wants them controlled. All right, now. Where am I at, Nancy? The power of your authority is in the Word of God. I said you are an agent of the kingdom. You are somebody. Don't live beneath your privilege. The power of your authority is in the Word of God. We need to stand still and see God work. God said to Job in Job 37:14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. See, I think sometimes we just need to stop, look and listen. In other words, just be quiet and just reflect on all the things that God has done for you. And where you really should be dead, but God was there and he brought you through. That's when he says one of the things he means by stand still and look what I've already done for you and look what I'm going to do for you. All right. And then Exodus 14:13 said, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I don't know how many times God has said that to me, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, when my enemy was coming against me, through people, he would say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'd have to be quiet. The enemy thought he was running roughshod over me and everything else. But all the while, God was in the background. And he was working everything out. But my job was to stand still, not shoot my mouth off. Not act stupid and foolish. But just be still. Not show my power and my authority, but just be still. Are you understanding this tonight? All right, so, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Moses said, God's going to help you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. He's saying, if you'll just stand still, you won't see your enemies anymore because God's going to take them away from you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. See that? The Lord will fight for you and you're going to hold your peace. You shall hold your peace. That's really hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Sister Nancy Willis. We have got to learn to be still and shut our mouth and hold our peace. We have to learn to be vessels of honor that God can work through whenever we're out there in that world. It's all, you think the world's all messed up. What do they think of you when you stand up and act just like them? Stop thinking about that. All right? They're not going to believe a word you have to say when you're acting just like they are. All right, Psalm 44:3 says, "For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword." See that? "Nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand," your God's right hand, "your arm and the light of your countenance, because you favored them." See that? You know, if you think that you're doing it, forget it. It's God that's doing everything. It's God that's taking care of you. It's God that's sending the people in front of you on the streets. You know, it's God that's doing everything. But whenever you think you're doing it and you're number one, you're way off course. We need to understand what God can and will do when we remove ourselves from the picture and watch Him work on our behalf. There's so many times recently in my life that I have a hard time doing that. That's when you need a sounding board. In other words, you need to have somebody you can call to and say, "You know what I'm going through right now." You know, just let it out so that you don't let the do it in front of the enemy. You know, the first thing I say, I know God is able, but right now I want to yank somebody's head off their shoulder type thing. You know, we all go through that. Come on. We're not dead and in heaven. We're still flesh and blood. But I'm not giving you any room to sin. And what I'm saying is you need to get that thing under control. And you need to act like Jesus would act. Amen. You brood of vipers. John the Baptist said, "You uncircumcised Philistines, who do you think you are?" I've lost my place. All right. Keep in mind, when anything worth value is accomplished in our lives, it has been God who has done it and not ourselves. You know, I don't know about you, but I reflect on my past a lot lately, just so I can see where God really did show up. And where if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't have done what, you know, the things wouldn't have been accomplished where they were, and I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And I think we need to do that sometimes. We need to sit down and look back when we think we've done it all. When you were doing it all, look at the mess you got yourself into. Now you're trying to blame it on God. Get out of here and you get mad at Him. You won't get mad at the devil though, will you? Because after all, he'll take away that play toy you like so well. So you'll stay in good standing with the devil. All right, when Moses led God's people out of Egypt, the Egyptians were hot on their trail. The Bible says in Exodus 14:10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto God." So even though God did all these miracles for them, they were still afraid. What were they to do? They had no weaponry. They had no chariots. And though Israel had over 600,000 men, and you can see that in Exodus 12:37, they were no match for the trained and hardened soldiers of Pharaoh's army that was following them. It is hard to imagine what it must have been like to face such circumstances, to have the Red Sea before you and the Pharaoh's army behind you and no way to escape. The Bible says in Exodus 14:10b, they cried out unto the Lord. That's what we need to start doing. Our God is always searching the earth for a people who will trust Him in every crisis, trial, and hopeless situation. He often leads us into situations that are alarming, critical, and difficult in order to test us. He wants to see if we are willing to stand still and wait for Him to bring supernatural deliverance. I've learned a lot since Pastor Larry passed away, because I've gone back over the 19 years we were together and saw how God worked, you know, and how I saw how God, I was supposed to be a servant. I was brought into His life to save His soul. Are you listening here? And I look back at how I didn't always do the right thing because I let self-pity set in. I did a lot of wrong things. I repented 10,000 million times, but you know, I want to let you know that you need to start from today. You need to start allowing God to have full and complete rule and reign over your life and know that He's in control and He will take care of you. If He's called you to do a thing, I'm hearing God say, do not harden your heart right now. If you do, you're done. But you know, if God has called you to do a certain thing, then he will equip you and he will give you the strength that you need to carry out that assignment. All right? The Bible states very clearly that in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. You see that? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. The Hebrew word for ordered here means prearranged, step by step, fixed, ordained by God. This means it is God, not the devil, who leads us into difficult places. Come on. Job 1:6-12. Before we read it, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You wanted to do it, so you just yielded when the temptation came. Come on. Job 1:6-12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Big mouth God. So proud of his son Job. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. See what happened? The devil said, if you take your hand off him, he won't serve you. I know when God told me that Satan had come before the throne of grace, and just like Job, God said, have you considered my servant Barbara? But he also told me, he warned me beforehand, he said, this has taken place, and he's coming after you with everything he has. The only thing he can't do is kill you. He said, but when he's through with you, he said, he will turn you every which way but loose, upside down. But when it's all finished, you'll be standing on your feet praising me. That's how it happened. But see, God forewarned me. Satan came, and I gave him permission to touch you. Are you understanding this? And see, when I started going through all my hell, all the pastors said, see, I knew she was a devil. See, I knew she was in sin. And I hadn't done anything wrong except to be righteous and upright before God. And Satan, and God said, have you considered my servant Barbara? So maybe he says it about some of you, and that's why you're going through the trials and tribulations you're going through. But if that's the case, why didn't he forewarn you? God always forewarns me when the devil has come and God's given him permission to do something. He always does. So if I was you, I would wonder why God hadn't forewarned me first. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with you. These are just things you need to think about. Amen. So then let's go to, so this is the first time, all right? Now let's go to Job 2:1. Again, second time, there was a day when the sons of God came, and that was the angels, all right? Sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him. See that? To destroy him without cause. God says right there, you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. But you did all that, but he still is blameless before me. And verse 4 says, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. All that man, In verse 5, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. Here goes poor Job all over again just because he's an upright man. You see what might be happening in your life? So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He'd already proved himself once. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, here comes an old wife, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. In other words, he's saying, you accept all the good I give you, but if a little bit of bad things come your way, you don't want to accept that. That proves to you exactly where you're standing with God when that happens in your life. We might cry out, Lord, why are you allowing my crisis to continue? I've been crying out, God, why aren't you healing this infirmity in my body? I got to quit, right? But the truth is, not only does he allow our trial, but he does so deliberately for a purpose, and that is hard for us to accept. And right now, I'm being honest, it's hard for me to accept the fact I still have an infirmity. When I believe in healing, God used me as a healing vessel, I'm having a hard time with that. But God is God. Yet God allows these hard things in our lives in order to produce faith in us. Remember, God told me from this moment on, all you're going to do is walk by faith. Yours is going to be a total. So that's what I'm doing. And my daughter was in from Arkansas. My kids all say I'm going to die, you know, and took me out for the Last Supper. And I can't convince them I'm not going nowhere, because I know what my father said to me. Are you understanding this? He is molding and shaping us into godly examples of faith to be his testimony to a faithless, ungodly age. David Wilkerson said, I firmly believe every step we take is ordained by our Heavenly Father. And if that is indeed true, then I can't believe God would ever lead me to the brink of a difficult situation only to abandon me. He wouldn't say, okay, David, I've directed you up to this point. Now you're on your own. See that? And God doesn't do that to any of us. Even one time in my assignment, I said, God, I can't do this. He says, oh, yeah, you can. You just don't want to. He said, you stand up and do it. See, he didn't say, I've left you forsaken you. He said, you can do this, or I'm going to ask you to do it. He will not ask you to do something you do not have the strength to do. He calls you to do something. He equips you to do it. But you have to learn to control your lips, or the tongue inside the lips, I don't know which it is. All right. So God titled this sermon, Since When Do We Step Aside? And what did you glean from this evening? What have you gleaned from this message? Do you understand that God is in control of your life and the enemy has no say-so unless you give it to him? Are you understanding this tonight? Wounded soldiers, it is time for you to rise. This is God speaking. Wounded soldiers, it is time for you to rise up out of the foxhole and dust yourself off and follow me with all of your hearts. You are not a bastard child without a father. You are a beloved child of the Most High God who cares for his children with love and compassion. Rise up, dust yourselves off, and continue this journey in total victory. Once again, I remind you what my word states, I will never leave nor forsake you. Are you hearing God speak to you tonight? Why don't you want to be a martyr? In other words, why do you not want to die to yourself? Why can't you just be a vessel of honor that God can work through, no matter what the trials or tribulations? Think about this. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Remember, you are a masterpiece of the Creator. You know, please remind yourself of that every day. Just remind yourself, I am a perfect masterpiece of God. He molded me. He breathed life into me. He's been with me every day of my life through the trials, the tribulations, the good times, the bad times, more bad times than good times, but he's always been there. And he's never left me nor forsaken me, no matter what. So remember, you are a masterpiece of the Creator. God wants to make you strong and courageous. And Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just, you know, and God said to read that scripture, so that's why I put it down, and I think it's awesome, the word. When I was first born, well, I always went to church, but then, you know, they didn't teach you, you know, like they teach you now. And then I was born again, and once I was born again, nobody, I'd ask pastors questions, I didn't know the answers, and they told me to sit down and shut up and just not contaminate the other people because I was of the devil. That's where how I started born again experience. And, you know, and I would go home and I would cry, God, why this and why that? And he would sit and talk to me, explain to me what was going on. And the bottom line was that the pastors were not walking in the spirit and they didn't have the answers. So they told me to sit down and shut up. And God said, I told you my Holy Spirit would teach you. Now, guys, you know, the Holy Spirit can teach you on all things. But I'm telling you, do not allow yourself to be self-deceived. I question myself every day. I take myself before the Father and I say, Father, if there's anything in me that's deceptive, take it out of me. I don't want to believe that I'm something I'm not. And that's really how I open doors. Sometimes the devil come and tell me that God's through with me. But anytime the devil says that, I say, well, I know that's not God because he wouldn't say it that way. I know his voice. But I don't want to be self-deceived either and believe I'm something I'm not. Are you listening here? And this is one thing that happens in the body of Christ, that ugly thing of pride bears its ugly head, and he makes you think you're all that and then some of that. That bothers me. You all know that by now. Pride, it really does bother me. I mean, because who do you think you are anyhow? Have you ever noticed, well, I won't say that because I'll offend people, but anyhow, some people that look in the mirror and think they're the best thing going, and they're really not. And I often wonder, does the devil paint a different picture in the mirror? Are you looking at something that's really not you? Have you ever thought about that? Because you act like, you know, look at me, boy. Everybody wants me. So you must, you know, the devil must put a picture up there that's not even you when you look in that mirror. Boy, by Lord, I am handsome. I'm beautiful. You know? Quit it. Just follow God. Just be a vessel of honor. Do you ever think about Jesus? You know, he walked through the dusty streets. You know, his clothes were dirty and his feet were dirty and he was sweaty and probably smelled. I don't think they had underarm deodorant then, you know. And he'd go into the people's houses and they'd wash his feet and he'd sit there and minister the gospel to them. He didn't worry about what he looked like or what he smelled like. He didn't worry if he could say things right or not. He just went there and let the Holy Spirit work through him. Did you ever think about that? Come on. You know, they delivered my new dishwasher the other day, and I said, somebody go to the door because I'm getting in the shower, I have no teeth in, and I'm naked. There's no way I can sign the form. Wow, why weren't you ready when he got here? Then nobody wanted to go to the other door and just sign the form. Isn't that awful? I said, well, I'm not going out there. So when he got to, I called Teddy. I said, hey, please go do this for me. But, you know, I really couldn't go in out in that condition. if I had clothes on and, you know, my teeth in, then I went out. But anyhow, I'm not worried about what it looks like is what I'm trying to say. I just know that I'm a child of God and I love him and he loves me and I am so loved by my Father. Sometimes I just really get puffed up with that I have a Father that loves me so much that he wants me to have the very best of everything. Amen. And he gives me the very best of everything and that very best is his himself and his love. And that's really all that we need. And then if you just receive that and go on, then he just works right on through you. And boy, your life is just it's just a good time. You can laugh and sing and dance when people are coming against you. You can say, ah, devil, show your ugly head once again. One more round for God, because I didn't bow to that. I want you all to do that. Just say, you know, one more round for God, devil. You're not taking me down. Amen. All right, the title was, Since When Do We Step Aside? How many of you learned a lesson tonight? When are you going to quit stepping aside? When are you going to quit allowing the devil to pull your strings? You young kids, you are missing out on God. You really are. You wait till you see what God's going to do with Andrew, then you other kids would be sitting there saying, oh, I wish you'd do that for me. Well, he tried. But chins wouldn't yield. You wanted more of the world than you wanted God. And I see a lot of people don't know Andrew's heart, but God has shown me his heart. And I know what's going on inside of his heart, in his head. And God is going to do great and mighty things for him. And I just wish that there wouldn't be just one child in here doing that. I wished all your kids were doing that, because the schools are full of kids that aren't saved. And God needs vessels of honor to go into those schools and use you to minister the gospel to the people, right? And he needs more people on the streets. There's enough people on the streets, is there? You know, there's just not enough people on the streets to minister to people. So tonight, God wants you to gain back the ground you allowed the enemy to steal. He wants you to be strengthened by his might and his power, and he wants you to go forth full of his might and his power to do the great and mighty works that he's calling you forth to do. What God wants you guys to do tonight is he wants you to come up to the altar, because what he's going to do is he's going to blow over you his wind. You're going to feel his wind as he breathes over you tonight. And he's going to blow that wind over you. And that wind is going to change and rearrange some of your thinking in your minds. And it's going to give you strength and courage and even honor to go forth and do the mighty works that God's calling you forth to do.